Greetings, church family. This is Pastor George, substituting for Pastor Rock this week. As far as I know, he'll be back with you next week. So in the meantime, let's jump in and take a closer look at week number 59. By the way, I made a quick calculation, and after this week, you'll be 65% of the way through your 91-week journey in God's Word. So keep on pressing on and pressing through. I know God will honor your efforts in this journey. Well, I absolutely love the story of King Josiah that begins in chapter 22 of 2 Kings. In fact, Josiah is one of my favorite Old Testament heroes, because although his 31-year reign in Judah followed wicked kings in his ancestral line, he was able to break the cycle of wickedness, even if it was just for one generation. That being said, as I read chapter 22, it didn't take long for me to recognize and quickly isolate a transformational principle from our reading this week. In fact, there's two principles, really, but they're so closely related that when one is present, the other one is always close by. And the principles I'm referring to are humility and repentance. So let's dive right into these. As you read in day one this week, when Josiah was only 26 years old, he gave instructions for the Lord's temple to be repaired and restored. And it just so happens that during the restoration, the book of God's law was rediscovered. It had been forgotten for years and left to collect dust in some dark corner of the temple. And when discovered, it was brought to Josiah and read for him in its entirety. And when he heard what was written in the book of the law, Josiah became immediately broken over what he had heard, because he realized that his ancestors had neglected to obey what was written in God's law for many, many years, and that God's anger surely burned against Judah as a result. And so Josiah wept and tore his clothes, which back then was a sign of deep remorse and sorrow and mourning, and even utter shock as he considered the implications and severe consequences of not obeying God's word for so many years. Therefore, Josiah quickly sent a delegation to consult a prophet on his behalf and on behalf of the people of Judah to inquire of the Lord of this newly discovered book and to confess they have not obeyed the words written in it. And so, speaking through the prophet, God said this to Josiah in verses 18 through 20 of 2 Kings chapter 22. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the message you have just heard. You were sorry and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I said against this city and its people, that this land would be cursed and become desolate. You tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. So I will not send the promised disaster until after you have died and been buried in peace. You will not see the disaster I'm going to bring upon this city. Now, this response from God to Josiah through the prophet is just mind-boggling. But it really shouldn't be, given what we know about God as revealed in Scripture. And that is, God honors and embraces genuine humility and repentance. And the Lord clearly communicated that in this passage as he observed in real time Josiah's genuine reaction to the Word of God as it was initially read to him. For example, God saw Josiah as he tore his clothes and reacted in despair. He heard Josiah as he wept before the Lord in bitter tears and repentance. He acknowledged Josiah's genuine sorrow and humility. And as a result, the Lord relented from bringing disaster upon Judah until after he takes Josiah home for eternity. This is amazing to me. The Lord actually postponed judgment upon an entire city and people due to the genuine humility and repentance expressed by one man. And as the people of God, we can learn a valuable lesson from Josiah's sincere expressions of humility and repentance. In fact, all throughout Scripture, these transformational principles are emphasized and highlighted. For example, James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And Isaiah 57:15, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. And we see these principles at play in Psalm 51, David's great psalm of repentance. Listen to verse 17. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And back to James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And Jesus said in Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And finally, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Look, I could go on and on with this, but the point is God honors and embraces genuine humility and repentance. And repentance shouldn't end the day we enter God's kingdom, because our vulnerability to sin hasn't ended. And whenever sin creeps into our lives, as it does from time to time, we need to train ourselves to recognize it, acknowledge it, confess it, renounce it, and then actively turn from it. That's repentance. Confession and repentance are good for the soul. On the other hand, hiding sin or not properly dealing with it leads to bondage and gives the devil a foothold in our lives. And let me finish by adding that repentance is an action word, because turning away or changing direction isn't conceptual only. We must actively do it in order to demonstrate that our repentance in any given situation is real and genuine. In Acts chapter 26, Paul said, all must repent of their sins and turn to God, and then prove they have changed by the good things they do. Josiah did just that, as he quickly followed up his verbal and emotional expressions of repentance with direct action in chapter 23. He summoned all the elders and the people into one place and read to them the book of God's law. Then he and the people pledged to obey it and keep the Lord's commands. Then he actively removed all traces of idol worship that plagued Judah for generations. He burned down, tore down, smashed, and demolished anything that contributed to those detestable practices, including the execution of the pagan priests responsible for performing those abominations and atrocities. When Josiah recognized the sin, he humbly repented of it and then demonstrated his repentance by his deeds. That is faith in action. So what can we take away from this? Well, it's quite simple, really. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God will dispense grace, mercy, and forgiveness whenever he's approached in a spirit of genuine humility and repentance. Because that's who God is. He's on record as saying he exalts the humble, and he lavishes grace upon grace to those who express godly sorrow and turn from sin in repentance. So I encourage all of us, embrace and learn to live out these transformational principles modeled for us so well by King Josiah. If you do, you'll never regret it. This is Pastor George. Have a great week.